had a request to present information regarding special bond taxing districts, and from Mr. Jack Hayes, who is the CFO for Michael T. Rose Land Incorporated. These bond districts are designed to provide funding for infrastructure associated with new development. As will be explained, where they're used, bonds are sold to fund infrastructure such as roads or sewer. The debt service or interest and principal payments on the bonds are paid for from special taxes charged specifically on the properties in the new development. The bonds are not general obligation bonds. This, they are not a liability of the county as a whole, but they are supported by revenues from the specific developments that benefit. And with that, I'll introduce Mr. Hayes to explain.
Thank you, Mr. Baker, and I appreciate the opportunity to address the council this morning regarding this, what is a very, very important piece of legislation that could occur and could help this county dramatically in a lot of the growth that is currently occurring. My background has been in finance my entire life. And in fact, I was in California in 1982 when they passed the first Mello-Roos financing, which is another name that you might hear attached to special taxing district financing. What this special taxing districts do is try to impose a special tax on the people and the communities that are actually receiving the benefit. As a side benefit from that, the growth created by these different communities put an intense burden on counties and municipalities to be able to fund other public amenities, such as schools, firehouses, police services, new equipment for public safety, public sewers, water systems, anything that is public in nature. And as opposed to having that tax imposed upon every resident of the county, it is imposed upon those who are actually receiving the specific benefit. When the property is developed, obviously it increases in value. When it increases in value, there is an ability to pay off financing that is imposed on that particular development over a period of 30 years. A lot of these developments and a lot of these improvements are very expansive in nature. I was at DelDOT, it's been a couple of months ago now, and looked at the amount of traffic impact that is going to occur in what I call an area that is Route 26 and roughly Central Avenue in Bethany. And all of the impacts were red dots on the map. And probably a bad expression, but it looked like somebody bled all over the map. There were so many red dots. Each one of those red dots represented a significant amount of money. Now, in order to build a public sewer or a water system, you can't build half of it. You have to build all of it. It has to connect. In order to do that, all of the money should be present at one time to fund that. And it's very difficult to do that, particularly when you get in a public environment of trying to say, well, I will give you a promise that I will finish 25% of it now and 10% of it next year and 15% the next year. It doesn't work that way. It has to be financed all at one time. This is a vehicle that allows that to happen and gives the municipalities and the counties and the states the ability to see all of the funds available at all one time, all funded, all in a fund that is protected by a trustee to make sure that those funds go for what they're intended to do. I've been involved in a multitude of these in California. I was involved in the first special taxing district that occurred in the state of Maryland, and I've been involved in several others since that time. So my experience has been, I've seen them work, I know that they do work, and have seen many, many successful developments occur as a result of using this type of financing. I want to introduce today Mr. John Stalford, who is with Miles and Stockbridge, who has had experience in dealing with special taxing districts at a municipal level in the state of Delaware, and who has been kind enough to work on the drafting the legislation that we've offered to you, and will try to answer any questions that you may have regarding it. After he speaks, I'd like to introduce Mr. James R. Thomas, who's president and CEO of George Miles and Brewer, who who will probably make some comments about some of the developments and the expanse of the developments that are occurring in Sussex County.
Can I ask a question? I'm a little confused. You're on the agenda, and I see it, basically you're lobbying for this.
Yes.
How did you get on the agenda? I mean, how did we get to this point that we're here listening to this presentation? Because we're only hearing one side of it. If I'm going to hear about special tax districts, I'd like to hear, you know, a workshop atmosphere where we're hearing, you know, both sides. And it just seems it's a little lopsided. So could somebody explain to me what's going on?
I met with them, Mr. Baker and I met with him about 2-3 months ago, something like that.
That's correct.
And they were talking about all of the offsite improvements that they're going to have to be making and the millions of dollars that it's going to cost them.
As a developer, right?
Right, yeah.
Okay.
And they were talking about, which we talked about, a year or two ago, about offsite or about special tax districts.
I remember that conversation.
And I think that Bridgeville, Seaford, Millville, there's a number of towns that have got permission to do those. And so he was saying that the region down there, that corridor, which he explained, has to be, the road improvements have to be done. And there's no way they'd come up with the millions, multi-millions of dollars unless they have something like a special taxation
district. That the developer can't come up with, or who? Yeah, I'm trying.
That the developer can't come up with to pay for these road improvements.
And that's now our problem. Okay. All right.
No,
I just wanted to find out how we got to where we are.
No, you want to know how I got on the agenda.
Yeah.
So then, curious. Talking to Mr. Baker, he said, I think the council maybe needs an education on what special taxation districts can do.
Okay.
And so I said, why don't you come to the meeting on July the 24th? So he came at my request.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
Well, if we're going to get educated, it'd be nice to hear two sides of the
issue. We do, Mr. Cole. I have Ted Bishop here from the Highway Department, and he's going to speak after he does.
Okay.
So that's both sides, okay?
I guess that's the way you call both sides. Okay.
Mr. Cole, you're more than welcome to invite anyone here that you want. Can you tell me why this was, if I'm understanding the legislation correctly, that failed to move through the General Assembly? Was this attached to the TDR bill?
This particular...
Not particular one, but a special...
There was a bill presented that was to put forth a special taxing district attached to a TDR bill.
And why were the two linked? Why were the two linked? They're really separate.
I can't answer that. I don't know why they were linked.
Are you involved in moving things like this through the General Assembly as well?
No, this is my first try. Let's try it that way.
Well, if you do get to the point of being up in Dover, attempt to get it separate from other pieces of legislation, it may have a better chance of moving.
I absolutely agree with that notion, because in order for a special taxing district bond to be successful, obviously those bonds are purchased by sophisticated investors. They like it simple.
Absolutely.
They don't like it complicated. They like to know exactly what they're secured by. They like to know exactly how the bonds are going to be paid off. And they don't need a lot of bypasses attached to that. It is a financial instrument. It is an investment instrument. And therefore, it does need to be properly underwritten and offered to these people. And when it is, it needs to be simple.
So. I'm glad you're here. I mean, we get a lot of criticism for the roads when really we have no jurisdiction over the roads.
Understood.
And so to have you come and explain this to us is a possible way of helping with that infrastructure, something that we can support here in the county.
We hope to do that.
I'm glad to hear about it.
I would think the state would not embrace it.
The state's not doing anything, so we're going to have to do it ourselves.
Okay.
You disagree?
Good morning.
Your smugness is childish.
Don't worry about that.
Yeah, go ahead.
You have to keep talking, or you never get done.
I'll get started. Good morning, Mr. President, members of council. My name is John Stafford. I'm a partner with the law firm of Miles and Stockbridge, and as Mr. Hayes indicated, I've served as bond counsel for the two special tax districts that have been done in the state of Delaware, the only two, in Millsboro and in Bridgeville. I've been involved in these types of financings for about the last 15 years, mainly in Maryland and in Virginia and in Delaware. What I'd like to do today is discuss with you in general the concept of a special development district as they're known in Delaware, and describe for you the proposed legislation which I've been working on, and then ask if you have any questions for me. We can either do that at the end or as I'm proceeding. So I'll give you a handout at the end of the presentation that you can take away and may assist you. Special development district is a defined geographic area that's created by the county at the request of the landowners. Okay. The purpose is, as Mr. Hayes said, is to provide a way to finance public infrastructure improvements for the benefit of the district and the county. The county creates the special development district and issues special obligation bonds, which are sold to sophisticated investors. These investors are, there are probably about 40 of them throughout the United States. They are represent money market, tax-exempt money market funds, such as T. Rowe Price would be a potential investor. Proceeds of the bonds are put into an account held by a bond trustee, and the proceeds of those bonds are used to pay for the public improvements. The county levies an annual tax each year on all the property in the district, just in the district. The special taxes that are collected annually are used to pay the debt service on the bonds. The special taxes are not levied on any other property in the county other than the district. As Mr. Baker indicated, the full faith and credit of the county is not pledged to these bonds. These bonds do not affect the ability of the county to raise debt. It has no impact on the county's debt rating. These types of bonds have been issued throughout the United States, and that's the result. You can talk to Fitch or Moody's or S&P, and they will tell you that.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
Why does it say in Section 9704 that the county, if it's not our full faith and credit, that the county may pledge its full faith and credit? If they're not our obligation bonds, are there circumstances where the county would want that option?
There have been jurisdictions throughout the United States where the county has elected to do that. It's just an option. So it's a flexibility. If, for example, the county felt that it was an essential project that they wanted to have done and it was necessary to add the county's full faith and credit in order to sell the bonds, there was something peculiar to that particular project, the county could elect to do so. It's not mandatory, it's just authority.
Has that been done in either of the two municipal?
Not been done in Bridgeville or in Millsboro.
Is there any copies of this proposed legislation? I see somebody on one side of me has it, but does anybody have it here with us?
No, I can make copies. I'll be glad to make copies, but it hasn't been reviewed by the county attorney or the county's bond counsel, so we didn't.
That's okay.
Talk about the concept as a whole.
Mr. Cole, I'll get to the legislation itself after I go through the description of how these districts work, and then we can talk about how the legislation's been prepared so far. Is that okay?
And who's asked you to prepare legislation?
Mr. Hayes.
And who asked Mr. Hayes to ask you to prepare legislation? Were you just preparing legislation, or were you given some kind of go ahead from county government to develop some legislation?
We engaged in the public to prepare legislation. Who is you? And we offered.
Okay, I'm just curious how it's all developing, but nobody's. You had Mr. Dukes and Mr. Did you have conversations say to go prepare legislation? Is that something you could share?
The conversation was, Mr. Cole, if it moves forward, we have to have the General Assembly to approve it. Period. And okay. This is his expertise. And, you know, if you don't like it, you can vote against it.
No. I'm just trying to find out how we got here.
I don't know much about it because I only saw this very shortly before.
I haven't even seen it.
Right. But I think it's fair to assume that there's probably a project out there somewhere that would like to utilize this funding.
No doubt. I understand that part of it.
So this is a way we can help improve the county infrastructure without
putting a broad-based tax on everyone. This is a way to create a revenue stream from those projects that impact the county.
Exactly.
That's correct.
Where has the broad-based tax been discussed?
Well, if you want to raise money for roads, the General Assembly usually taxes people when they want more money. Now, tell me this. The folks who are moving into these special tax districts, have they been given full disclosure? I mean, there's not going to be any surprise on their part come tax time that they have a much larger bill than all the people who have lived here for the last 50 years.
That's correct. The way mechanically it works, the county sends out its regular ad valorem tax bills, and then there's a separate line item at the bottom that says, here's your special tax for those people living in the district. But before we get to that point, any property owner moving into the district, on their contract of sale, there's a special disclosure addendum. There's also best practices. There's nothing in the legislation that requires that, and I'll talk to you about the current legislation in the state from which this is modeled. But best practices require a whole disclosure program so that the first time that a potential homeowner comes to a sales office, that's very clear that this is a special tax district. There's usually a brochure on the sales office wall. There's a notice of the special taxes that gets filed in the land records so that anytime you do buy a property, as you know, the title search is done. That would show up on the title search itself so that the homeowner is aware of it. In addition, all the settlement agents that represent the home buyers in this area would be educated on that. This is a program that we've done in Heritage Shores and in Plantation Lakes in Bridgeville and Millsboro.
When there are taxes on the general population, it's usually the elected officials that are the ones who are responsible for increasing, decreasing, or what have you. Who's responsible for modifying the taxes within a special tax district?
There is a methodology that's created when the district is created that will establish what the maximum special taxes can be. And that's done by an administrator, a professional. There's several companies throughout the country. There's one company in particular that has worked with two municipalities in Delaware and a lot of the jurisdictions in Maryland that works on the determination of what that tax is going to be. It's based upon the projected uses of the improvements that are being financed. So, for example, if you're financing a road, a certain dollar amount is assigned to a single-family detached house, and a lesser percentage is assigned to a townhouse, and a lesser percentage is assigned to a condominium on the theory that there are more people in the single-family house, and there are more trips and things like that.
And is this rate set upon the establishment of the district?
Yes.
Is that a static rate, or can that rate, fluctuate?
The rate cannot exceed the maximum rate that's established from the outset. Can be less, the tax also pays for administrative expenses that are associated with the district. So all those things are calculated, and this administrator advises the county as to what that levy should be on an annual basis, but it's always subject to a maximum amount.
So 5 years into a tax district, a homeowner isn't going to get notice that their special tax rate has increased by 20%. It's going to be the same.
It'll generally these things increase at about 2% per year from a base. So, and they go up, and the homeowner is advised of that. That's to work with the debt service on the bonds. So if I'll give you an example in Millsboro. Single-family detached home was paying about $1,000 a year, and that increased by 2% per year.
Now, for instance, when we have some of these land lease programs that certain communities have at the beach, in their contracts they cannot exceed by more than, say, 5% per year.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's this little clause that says, you know, once every 5 years, we can look at the cost of land and determine if we need to exceed the 5%.
Yeah.
There's no hidden clauses in these agreements.
I can show you the disclosure that we did in Millsboro. It specifically says your base year rate would be, you know, $1,000, for example, and it will increase 2% per year thereafter. It's fully disclosed. And the concept is that these special taxes are paying for infrastructure improvements that the developer's going to have to fund one way or another. If the developer doesn't have the source of financing, it's going to be built into the price of the house. So this is a mechanism for the homeowner to finance those costs that would otherwise be passed through into the cost of the house and finance it basically over time at a tax-exempt rate of interest. This is just a, because the interest on these bonds is tax-exempt, whereas if they had to go out and borrow a mortgage to pay for that increased cost of the house, that's at a, you know, 7% say in today's market. They're paying for that cost and they're financing that. This is just another mechanism for them. Another advantage is that these special taxes can be prepaid. If I come in as a retiree and I don't want to, I'm coming from New Jersey, I don't want to have any taxes other than the real estate taxes. I don't want to have a mortgage. You know, I have a fixed income, I want to know what my costs are. That homeowner can prepay these special taxes when they buy the house. They can prepay them in part at any time, so that it's very flexible from the homeowner's perspective as to what they want to do with this obligation, which is usually a 20 to 30 year obligation is the length of the time that these taxes are on the property. You asked about notice. So that I talked about the first time home buyers coming into a new development. That still applies every time that contract, that property is rolled over to a new home buyer, that there's disclosure to that new home buyer. So the second or third home buyer is always going to have disclosure as to the fact that their property is in a special development district.
I have a question. Is there any mention in the bill of this, the size of the area that would be included in terms of acreage, or how does that work?
That's purely determined by the county and its discretion. Usually it's the whole project that is to be developed by the developer.
Would the county have to approve all the infrastructure costs that are to be financed by the project?
Is it coming back?
That's part of the overall process, Mr. Griffin, that when you go to sell these bonds, the investors want to know what the cost of the project is. Clearly, the developer's putting in a substantial portion of their money also to finance some of the development. And an engineer will certify what those anticipated costs are, and that's matched with the proceeds of the bonds and the overall sources and uses to finance the project.
How do they know exactly that they're financing the right amount to build out the project? And if
it's based on an engineer's best estimate based upon their experience and they do due diligence.
So they tend to overestimate, I guess?
They're conservative.
And if they have too much money, more money than needed, does that pay down the indebtedness?
Down the bonds.
And do the proceeds of the bonds, are they used to pay only for costs within the district? And is the district limited to the land of the developer, or are they also used to finance off-site costs, like if the state of Delaware made them improve the Route 13, for instance, on Heritage Shores, can the bond funds be used for that too?
The legislation that I've drafted is proposed that they finance both on-site and off-site.
So it's not limited to the district.
Well, let me explain, make clear that the legislation which was adopted for some of the municipalities was not clear that the improvements could be owned by anyone other than the municipality. Okay, so a DelDOT improvement could not be funded for Bridgeville or Millsboro.
Could this legislation
under the charter amendments that were done for those two jurisdictions, the only thing that could be financed, you could finance on-site and off-site, but it was limited to improvements that were going to be owned by the municipality and not by another governmental entity.
And this bill is broader.
This bill is broader in that respect.
Okay.
What happens on a foreclosure on a house in the district that had been paying and they foreclose? sell the property?
Taxes are collected, special taxes are collected just like any other ad valorem taxes that the county imposes. And so if there's a default in the special taxes, there's a collection procedure. And that procedure is the same procedure as it would be for ad valorem taxes. Presumably, if someone's not paying their special taxes, they're not paying their regular taxes also. The property goes to tax sale. That default has no impact on any other homeowner. It is solely related to that particular property that is delinquent. There is a mechanism built into the financing that deals with that, and it's the creation of a debt service reserve fund, so that in the event that there are delinquent taxes of a material nature, the bondholders still get paid until that collection procedure can go through, property sold at tax sale, and the proceeds are put back into the debt service reserve fund.
How would a build out of the district work? Like, if it's not already all, if the money's been spent on the infrastructure, the bond money's been spent, but yet the special tax district's not completely built out yet, and they're doing it in phases.
Right. Couple answers to that. There's both the concept of developed property, which is property that's been platted and it's been transferred to homeowners, and undeveloped property. The developer is responsible for paying the special taxes on the undeveloped property. There's also built into this financing an interest-only period, so that the amortization doesn't begin until the project is several years into development. In addition, the interest cost is capitalized into the bond issue for the first couple of years, so you're financing all of that. Depending upon the nature of the development and its expected build-out period, there can be series of bonds issued, so you create an indenture up front that contemplates that additional bonds will be issued as future phases of the project are developed. So there are a variety of mechanisms to deal with the concept of phasing and who pays for what at what point in time.
How are the bondholders protected if there's a market collapse and they don't sell any of these properties?
These are sophisticated investors.
Or not.
The bonds are sold based upon a market study. Which is performed by an independent expert that does this stuff for a living. They perform a market study, and that's basically what sells the bonds. So company Robert Charles Lesser, for example, does a market study. They say, here is what we think is going to happen in Bridgeville or Millsboro. And the investors do their own due diligence. They read the market study. They come down and look at the property. They are comfortable with the credit of the developer, who may have to pay for those special taxes in the event that the project doesn't develop.
So it falls on the head of the developer if...
Absolutely. It doesn't come back to the county, but once again, these are non-rated bonds, so if something doesn't pan out the way it's supposed to, they understand that. They take the risk, and that's why the interest rate on these is a little bit more than you would see for a GO obligation. So I don't know what your GO is, four and a quarter, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
These bonds are probably trading at 5.25, 5.5. So there's a premium paid for the project risk above a GO rate. Okay. Benefits to the county. As we talked about, you're paying for projects and improvements that are not only in the district but off-site. So we've talked about road improvements off-site. They can be financed. It's a huge issue, as we all know, right now in this part of the state. As Mr. Hayes mentioned, this is a source of secured funding. All of the bond proceeds are put into a construction fund, and the money is drawn down as the improvements are built and certified by an engineer to the county. Because remember, these improvements get conveyed to the county. So there's an engineer for the county that reviews the improvements, certifies that they're acceptable. Money's released out of the construction fund to pay for those proceeds. Normal situation where you don't have this, you're at the you know, the success of the project really determines whether or not that all the improvements are going to get built. So if the project is not proceeding forward, you know, you only may get a portion of what was anticipated to be built as the public improvements. We've talked about the types of improvements, like roads, stormwater, sewer, lights, libraries, schools. There's a whole laundry list of different types of public improvements that can be financed with these types of bonds. We've talked about the responsibilities of the county. Create the district, they levy the tax, they collect delinquent taxes. There's no expense to the county to do this. The taxes pay for the cost of the administration, they pay for the cost of creating the district, and they pay for the cost of administering the district. Usually, an independent third party, it's one that I mentioned before, who advises the county on the amount of the special taxes on an annual basis, they are hired and under contract, and the only source of their repayment is the special taxes. Some counties have elected to undertake that responsibility themselves, but it's in my experience and advice, that would be not a good thing to do.
Income to the county?
Yeah. Other than that, well, there's no income in this other than the sense that the development itself gets built, and the property taxes that are generated from that development inure to the benefit of the county. But there's no fee income in the sense, I think, that your question was.
At what point does the developer commit to the idea? Would it happen, for instance, after receiving county approval for the zoning or to go forward with the project? Or does it happen earlier than that?
Usually as part of the development agreement with the county, this is all part of that, but it depends upon the project and the nature of the approval process.
I'm just trying to find out if the county would be asked to become involved before the county makes a decision about zoning.
No, not on approval of this type of financing, if I understood you.
There was a question, something you mentioned I'm not sure I understood about, you said all of the improvements would be conveyed to the county.
Or the state.
And if this legislation were passed, what types of improvements would be conveyed to the county, and how long would the county hold those? And
water lines, sewer lines, any other public improvements that the county typically would take title to. These bonds cannot finance private improvements.
After the county took title, if it had to go in and replace a lift pump or a sewer line repair, would that be paid by the county?
Yes, as usually the case for any other county improvements. As I said, these bonds are usually in effect for about 30 years, but they can be prepaid. The county does not currently have the legal authority to participate in special development districts. There is legislation which has been in place at a state level for, I guess, probably 4 years now, which basically only authorizes Wilmington as the only municipality that has a population of more than 50,000 people to participate in these types of financings. However, since that legislation was initially enacted, there have been several municipalities which have had their charters amended to basically obtain the same authority that Wilmington does. Those are Bridgeville, Millsboro, Georgetown, Laurel, and Seaford. They all have gone to Dover over the course of the last several years, including this last legislative session in Dover, to obtain that authority.
How many towns are actually using the enabling legislation?
Bridgeville and Millsboro.
Okay.
Do they all have the same agreement?
Probably not. Essentially. There are nuances, but generally the charter amendments have been essentially the same, but for this one issue that we discovered in the last year which was that the improvements were limited to those that could be or would be owned by the municipality. It was determined that that was too narrow, and so I believe that Laurel expanded there. I didn't participate in Laurel or Seaford. I did do Georgetown, Millsboro, and Bridgeville. Those have all been done by charter amendments requiring two-thirds legislative approval in Dover by each house, and they have passed successfully. What was introduced in this last legislative session in Dover was a request by Newcastle County to do essentially what you're being asked to consider. That legislation did not get out of the Senate. It was not brought to the floor. It was not voted upon. Okay. The legislation which I have drafted so far is essentially based upon the Newcastle legislation, which would basically just add Newcastle to the list of governmental jurisdictions that could participate in special development district financing. That was House Bill 197, if anybody wants to see that.
Newcastle couldn't get that done. Why do you think Sussex would be able to?
It's easier.
It's my understanding, I haven't had direct conversations, but it's my understanding that some of the senators received some bad advice as to how these districts worked, and the legislation was not put forward until very late in the session, and there wasn't an opportunity to have further discussion about those concerns that had been expressed by some people outside of the General Assembly. So it is my understanding that there will be an opportunity to discuss those issues with the particular senators that had expressed concerns, and I'm confident that once we have an opportunity to discuss how these things really work, that those concerns will be addressed.
So I assume Newcastle would be coming back in the next session?
That would be my understanding.
How about Kent?
I don't know anything about Kent.
Could the county, with this mechanism, could they limit what the bond proceeds are used for, to like off-site improvements or
yes,
whatever, based on the project or
yes,
based on policy?
Yes, whatever policies the county were to adopt.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very broad legislation which allows you to, as I said, do what Wilmington and the other municipalities have authority to do, but it could be limited by policy or otherwise.
Could the county approve the financing of some but not all of the costs that are proposed by the developer?
Certainly.
At this point, gentlemen, listen, Mr. Dukes, Mr. President, Mr. Baker, I see it's under your heading. We have talked probably 40 minutes on this issue, so we've had basically allowed them to command the floor for 40 minutes on an issue that was just thrown in. We finally did get some legislation here. I think it's time to move on. I've heard
okay.
enough. I think we ought to look at it later if you want to do it. But I said, but Mr. Dukes, I'm just concerns me that there was this no notice of this. There was nothing in our packet about it, and we've gone 40 minutes now listening to some lobbyists basically tell us about how great tax ditches are or districts are, not ditches. We have tax ditches also, and this seems to be, in my opinion, something like a tax ditch. We're going to get wallowed in it. But it seems very complicated. It's nothing we can solve here today. Obviously, I know you've been issuing some of these bonds, and you're making nice fees out of it, and I can see your understanding. You know, you've got a financial motive. He's got a financial motive. Everybody's got a financial motive in it, and Mr. Dukes is the only one to talk to you all. And I think, Mr. Dukes, it's time to move on with the rest of the agenda. We have a, you know, full day here ahead of us.
Thank you, Mr. Cole, but I looked at this as a workshop.
You didn't tell a soul then. I don't know who you're telling.
I don't have to tell you, Mr. Cole.
I think you're acting too a little independent, and I think, yes, you do. I think it's it's nice to...
I'm sorry. I don't have to tell you.
I think it should be on
the
agenda.
It's
going to
be on the agenda. I don't control the agenda.
You don't?
No.
Who doesn't?
Mr. Baker. You've been here 20-some years and don't know that yet?
Oh, so Mr. Baker, you had this put on today.
I used
at the request of?
Mr.
Duke.
My request, yes.
But
all right,
I think
I
the idea was to discuss it as a concept, not,
I've heard enough.
Not
we're
to
not
get
voting
into
on anything
details
today.
I've heard enough.
Legislation, but to talk about it as a
it's giving the appearance of a too cozy of a relationship between Mr. Dukes and this group that came here today. No offense, gentlemen, but it just looks a little cozy that we're getting so much time.
I have nothing to do with the developer, so don't be insinuating that I'm in bed with him.
That's all right, but I believe it's time to move on, Mr. Duke.
Mr. Cole, I will control the meeting, and I will move on when I feel it's appropriate. So don't be telling me what I'm going to be doing.
I know. As long as we're catering to the developing interests of this county, we can.
Okay.
We will give them all the time.
Thank you for your opinion, Mr. Cole.
It's obvious, Dale. It's very obvious.
I apologize for the rudeness of one of the council members this morning, but.
No, I
have
sat here for 40 minutes listening to this presentation.
Well, then get up and leave, George. That's the best thing I can tell you.
Walk out. If you don't want to hear it, we've been here with you.
You are wasting county business at the time. We're just
I'm here all day,
time.
Mr. Cole.
Oh, my God. I can't believe you said
thank
that.
Thank you this morning.
James, you ought to wake up.
We have... Thank you. Did you want to have Mr. Thomas say anything? Are you scared? Don't be afraid.
Right. I'm too old to be scared. I just wanted to comment. You know, I've been before you many times before, working either in Sussex County or for Sussex County. We've been doing this for 35 years. I think in the past, as many of you recall, we had grants that would fund projects, particularly water and sewer projects, 75 to 90%. That's all gone. Loans are even sketchy at this time. It's gone now to where I think the county and the state have to pick up a lot of these off-site costs. And I think this is another instrument that could be effective. That's really all I wanted to say. I liken it similar to industrial revenue bonds, to tell you the truth, even though the details are much different, I'm sure, but it's another instrument to be able to fund the project without putting it on the county or state tax base.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Without raising the ire of Mr. Cole again, I would say, just for the benefit of the other four, if there are other three, if they're interested, in speaking with Mr. Hayes, he has met with DelDOT, and he has found out the infrastructure, the roads, and improvements that has to be made for DelDOT to give their blessings. And he's estimating that down in that region, there is 21 roads, intersections, improvements that has to be made. He's estimating that offsite, his subdivision alone will be about $10 million. He's estimating that all of the improvements to be made down there will be a little bit less than $50 million when all the developers come together and do the improvements that DelDOT wants, says is necessary for the roads. So that is the magnitude of the infrastructure that the developers are paying. Everybody says developers pay nothing, but I beg to differ with those people that say that. And that's why that if we're going to have improvements to the roads, the developers are going to have to step forward. And this was a vehicle that could be done, and this was an educational session only this morning. We weren't voting on anything. Yesterday I met with DelDOT, with three or four from DelDOT and the county, which all councilmen are meeting with DelDOT one-on-one. And Mr. Ralph Reeb told us what they did in Middletown, and that they had they used something that we asked him about special taxation districts. He was not opposed to that, but he said they had another way that they did it in the Middletown area. And Mr. Ted Bishop's here this morning, and I'm going to ask you to come forward. I will try to keep you from being attacked, but if you will tell us what they did up there. And
good morning. this is Ted Bishop. I'm the Assistant Director of Planning for DelDOT. What we did in Middletown as part of the Westtown Master Plan was not a special tax district. The benefit was that, and actually I should say to start, the town of Middletown came to us and said that we are working with developers, several developers, and we feel that taking a comprehensive approach or a master planned approach to development within the area west of Middletown, where they had recently annexed land that was to be developed, would make sense to work together, and would DelDOT be interested in partnering with the developers and the town in this case. We considered that, and we did agree to do that. The difference is that in that case it was voluntary in the sense that the developers, if they chose to participate in this master agreement that we had with the town, would not be required to do an individual traffic impact study. So in lieu of doing that, we did a comprehensive master plan approach, including the transportation study, which, again, if you were a developer and you chose to participate in this approach, you would be essentially covered by this master plan. Eventually, all the developers within this recoupment area, as it was called, chose to participate. And I believe it's moved along pretty well. Development is occurring. We are matching the infrastructure in terms of the highway improvements required pretty closely to the development phasing that's occurring in that area. The costs, as it turns out, have escalated, so some adjustment has had to be made from the original $5 million that was anticipated to be needed for the improvements to the roads to support the development. But we are moving forward to that extent as well. This, to my knowledge, is the first time within the state of Delaware that we've done something. It was a prototype or a test to see how well this would work, and we think it has worked well from the standpoint of DelDOT's interest, the developers, the community, and the town of Middletown. That's the quick synopsis of what we did. Again, I want to point out it was not a tax district. Each developer contributed money towards this fund called the Transportation Fund for Middletown based upon a formula that was tied to the number of units or the square feet of commercial, in that case, that was being developed. That formula was then used and applied to every developer that came in who signed on to become a participant in this agreement and this master plan approach. That's the sketch.
Real but does DelDOT, support special tax district?
DelDOT looks at them as being another tool that can be used. We would need to look at the specific language of legislation, but yeah, we would support that as one in a number of possible ways of financing road improvements. The developers participating, obviously, in a different fashion than what we did in Middletown with the Westtown Master Plan.
Okay.
Sir? Question would be, you said it was not a tax district,
correct?
Special tax. Would you characterize it as an impact fee, basically? What you've done in Middletown? Is it more in line with like an impact fee? You said they would put money into a fund.
It wasn't called an impact fee, but I suppose one could characterize it in that way.
It would resemble an impact fee more than a special tax district is what I took from your conversation.
Yes,
would that be safe to say?
I would say so, yeah.
Okay.
But again, I want to point out it was not called an impact fee.
I understand.
Or a tax. It was a voluntary contribution based upon everyone getting together.
An impact fee wouldn't be voluntary.
An impact fee typically would not be voluntary,
right, okay.
But this was.
Okay.
Again, the difference being if you chose to participate in the master plan approach, then you would get the benefits that accrue with that. Otherwise, it would take you longer to get approval from DelDOT and, in this case, the town, because you'd have to go through the usual traffic impact study process, which typically would take long.
Okay, that's what I'm trying to get at. Thank you.
Sure.
You said you made your master plan. I guess you had to do some kind of study, though. I mean, overall, if you didn't require traffic TIS and those kind of things, you had to have something like a game plan already.
Oh, we did, yes. Yes, I brought materials. I didn't know how much time you wanted me to spend on this, but there was a master plan that was developed by the town initially.
The town did it.
The town did. That laid out what they'd like to see in terms of this master plan, where the development would go, what improvements were required, facing of that, the benefits that they saw. They promoted this as part of Livable Delaware, which is another reason why DelDOT supported this. Subsequently, an engineer was hired who actually did the detailed circulation plan that includes the kinds of things you're talking about, which then that information was used to develop the cost estimates for the, in this case, the highway improvements that were required.
And that they did everything like sewer, water, as far as your master plan, you were strictly just transportation.
This was strictly for the transportation improvements. The town was covering the infrastructure in terms of water, sewer, and so forth separately from this.
Okay.
Could you forward that agreement to the council for us to study? Because what you're proposing, what your testimony is today, is not what their testimony is.
No,
it's kind of similar, but it's different.
Right.
And I've always been an advocate that, you know, if we've got to go this route, down, impact fees seem to be where most jurisdictions have gone, because you can still take out for all these items, all these things, this laundry list of things you want to help to improve, but you can do it through an impact fee, which is much simpler than probably this document that we see in front of us today.
Each approach, I would say, has its own set of guidelines. Well,
we did some research years ago. Mr. Baker was part of it with a previous county administrator, and their report back was special tax districts that were used in Maryland and different places. They actually, and tell me if I'm wrong, David, but I can remember somebody sitting down at that end of the table saying that it wasn't recommended that we went into them, that they, for residential purposes, that they were primarily used for brownfields where they were trying to redevelop areas that had been, run down because of different things.
I remember.
So that was my recollection of it, and we could probably research that and find that.
I think
remember it coming up on Bayside, remember?
Right, and we rejected it because we did some study. They were another developer, just like this one. It was in front of us, trying to get us to convince us to buy into special tax districts so we could relieve... they could relieve their financial burden and pass it on. Well, it always gets passed on anyway. So right now we've had very successful development, almost too successful here in Sussex County. It hasn't seemed that anybody's been having a problem. So maybe where we need to be looking at is, and I'd love to have a workshop, Mr. Dukes, on impact fees and give them an hour of time.
I think at the time when we looked at it before, the concern was how the money would be used, that we didn't want to see bond money be used for streetlights in the development or sidewalks or things that
right.
the developer normally provides, and
we get all that
we didn't
in,
want
right.
to see that, and that was I think that was the main concern back then. But one of the things I think what Mr. Bishop mentioned is similar to what we did for sewer and what we've been doing for sewer. Now we've limited ours to sewer, for instance with the Johnson's Corner project, where we had developers volunteer. We worked with developers to come up with voluntary contributions towards the cost of the project to reduce the cost for the residents, similar to what Delrod has done in Middletown.
They're ponying up the money so they can move their projects along faster. They're not so concerned about reducing the resident other people's monies. They're more concerned it's
true,
the business.
Right. In this case,
their business is to get their development on the table and moving forward. So they're trying to help county government move forward. You know, and that's why they're volunteering the money, not for these other reasons. But I understand. They seem to have been having a fairly successful way, but I'd love to see the copy of that Middletown legislation and see how we can compare that.
Well, it wasn't legislation.
It was an agreement. Agreements. Yeah, I'd love to see that agreement.
I would be glad to share everything we've got on this, and also
forward it to Mr. Baker. He could forward it to us.
I'd be willing to come in and be a participant in the workshop if you choose to do that. Just one other point. This sort of started on the transportation, modeled on what had been done in many places under something called a recoupment agreement, which is more typically used for water and sewer, where the first developer comes in, pays for a significant part of the infrastructure, and then other developers come in later and reimburse or recoup that initial
right.
developer for those costs.
Right.
So that's the case here with this master plan approach we did in Middletown for Westtown as well. If someone comes in later, if a property is changes hands or something, or another developer comes in, to participate, they would have to sign the same agreement and then would recoup or reimburse the original participants in their costs.
They get a rebate if there's too much money left over, for lack of a better word?
I don't think that's been a problem so far.
That's not, I'm sure it's not with the cost of things. I'm sure that. So it's about, I mean, the whole thing is either you create a district, you create an agreement, impact fees, somewhere else, there's got to be agreement somehow to make it to pay for the infrastructure part.
Absolutely.
And whether it be, you know, whatever mechanism we choose to go, whether it be voluntary, manual, you know, I understand. I don't know, it seems Bridgeville and Millsboro, from what I've seen, have worked very well. And the people know that up front, and it's done some of the things.
It seems to be working in Middletown with the Westtown agreement pretty well.
Right.
If you get a chance to drive up there, you can see the developments taking
right.
place, and the roads are being constructed. Relatively closely in phase with that development. So, yeah. Other questions, sir?
Okay, thank you, Mr. Bishop. If you would get your copy of your agreement down to Mr. Baker, then he'll be glad to share it with the rest of us. And I'm sure that we will follow this up with a workshop in the future, and you'll be glad to participate. We'll be glad to have you down.
Certainly would.
Thank you all for coming in this morning. I'm sure you'll be hearing from us in the future. Thank you. Mr. Baker, administrator's report.
The first item I have is the Johnson's Corner Sanitary Sewer District referendum results. The Sussex County Engineering Department conducted a referendum on Saturday, July 21st from 9 a.m. till 2 o'clock at the Sound United Methodist Church Community Building. The purpose of the referendum was to establish the Johnson's Corner Sanitary Sewer District. The results of the referendum were 243 for the establishment of the district and 87 against. These results include 35 valid absentee ballots received. And I'd like to thank the engineering department, Mr. Ashman, Mr. Archer here, for the work they did in various public meetings and all the work they did regarding this project. The next item, comprehensive plan update workshop. A workshop will be held at 6 p.m. on July 31st regarding the first draft of the land use chapter for the 2007 comprehensive plan update. The workshop will include members of the county council and the county's planning and zoning commission. The county's land use consultant, Urban Research and Development Corporation, will present the first draft to the council and the commission. And the workshop will be held at the Sussex County Administrative Office West Complex building. And beneficial acceptance, engineering has granted beneficial acceptance to the following projects. I'll just name them: Bay Forest Club Pump Station Site Agreement 478 in the Millville expansion of the Bethany Beach Sewer District. And then the other is Bay Forest Club Phase 1.1 Agreement 478-1, also in the Millville expansion of the Bethany Beach Sanitary Sewer District. Thank you.
Susan Webb.
Today, I'd like to